from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. What if you were 21 years old, just coming of age, and you were told soon you'd likely lose your hearing completely? KQED's April Domboski says that's what happened to Matt Hay. She writes, as his hearing aids get bigger and bigger, Matt realizes he wants to capture the sounds that are slipping away. His girlfriend's voice, the click of her heels, and especially the songs of their invincible youth. Hay's touching story, told by April, is what inspired the topic of this forum segment, and we want to hear from you. We want to know, what sounds would you try to burn into your brain if you knew in a few years you'd never hear them again? The number to call is 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. You can email them at forum@kqed.org, post them on Facebook, Twitter, or on our website, kqed.org/forum. Good morning, April Domboski.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being here to tell us about this story that you wrote and aired. April Domboski is health reporter for KQED's KQED News and the California Report, and that piece is called The Soundtrack of Silence. April, tell us about Matt Hay. He was a sophomore in college when doctors told him he was going to lose his hearing. What did he do?
Yeah, he found out he had a very rare disease that was going to gradually cause him to lose his hearing. It could be a year, it could be 10 years, he didn't know. But he decided to prepare in a couple of different ways. He decided to take sign language classes. He started learning how to read lips. And he chose a handful of songs to listen to on repeat over and over.
Well, let's hear this clip that you have from your story. This is Matt Hay.
I found myself in a moment where I thought, what songs do I want stuck in my head for the rest of my life?
He was basically curating the soundtrack to his future. For Matt, that started with the Beatles, the Beach Boys, and Prince.
It was one of those, like, I really need to start cramming for Prince.
When his hearing went, he wanted to be able to recall the songs in his head, but also the memories he associated with those songs. This one takes him back to high school, when he and his good friend Stephanie first got their driver's licenses.
And I have great memories of going down, driving down the highway in her Subaru Legacy with all four windows down on a, you know, summer evening, and just Seven turned up all the way and all of us singing horribly along with it.
That's April Domboski's story called Soundtrack of Silence. And we have links to April's story and Matt Hay's playlist at kqed.org/forum. How did you find Matt Hay, April?
A little bit more than a year ago, I was in Louisville, Kentucky for the Kentucky Derby. I have some really dear friends who live out there. And Matt Hay, it turns out, is friends with my same friends, too. So he's a friend of a friend. I met him at a Kentucky Derby party. And last year, the Kentucky Derby was very shortly after Prince died. And so one of the topics of conversation going around at this party was, you know, what are your favorite Prince songs? And I met Matt at this party, and we were actually just talking about that particular song, Seven. That was something that he and I had in common for both of us. It was our favorite Prince song. And as we started talking about it, he started telling me this story about how it was one of those songs that he had decided to memorize when he found out he was going to lose his hearing. And I, you know, just as a reporter, I just kind of perked up and was like, what? You know, well, what were your other songs then? And beyond that, Matt is also just an incredible guy. Just has been through a lot and has an incredible perspective on his disease and losing his hearing and, you know, how his life unfolded after that. And so I was fortunate to meet him and do a story about him.
Right. And it wasn't just songs that he really focused in on. He became a lot more aware of the sounds around him as well.
Yeah. And some of this was for practical reasons. So, again, his hearing went away gradually. And one of the things that went first were soft sounds, like, you know, the door opening when his wife got home from work, or the click of her heels on, you know, the hardwood floor when she would walk in. And when he wasn't able to hear those anymore. You know, she would come in and just scare him to death because he didn't know that somebody was in the house. So there were things like that. There were emotional sounds, too. You know, he's a big sports fan. The sounds at the baseball stadium, you know, the bat hitting the ball, or even something even more subtle like the ball hitting a catcher's mitt. You know, those were things that he was aware he wasn't going to be able to hear anymore. But then even beyond that, Matt told me just this really amazing story there. And this surprised me. I didn't realize this, but he did lose his hearing. And there was a particular day where it faded away. And he told me this story that he started to realize, he was at work and he started to realize what was happening because doctors told him, you know, it'd get really muffly. It would sort of sound like things are underwater. And so he rushed home and he told his wife what was happening. And then this is part of the story where Matt and his wife, Nora, told me what they did with the last hours of his hearing.
Well, let's hear it.
And there's a place on Division Street, Adobo Grill, that has great margaritas and great guacamole, the tableside guacamole. So we went and got guacamole. Like, what do you do when you lose your hearing? You go get margaritas and guacamole. And I can remember walking there and just sitting across having margaritas and telling each other, I love you.
He wanted me to laugh. He wanted me to laugh so he would remember that. And hear me say, I love you.
You can mouth the words, I love you, to somebody. You can sign, I love you, to somebody. But I wanted to make sure. I wanted to make sure I remember what it sounded like. Such a beautiful way to break your
heart. We're talking with KQED's April Domboski about the soundtracks of our lives and what sounds from that soundtrack we'd want to try to memorize if we knew in a short time we'd never hear again. And we asked our listeners to share those with us. If you'd like to, it's 866-733-6786. You can post them on Facebook, Twitter, on our website, or email us, forum@kqed.org. And Charles writes, the sound of my children's voices, that's all I need. And Heather writes, I'm a birder and I bird by ear as well as I can smile at the song of a bird I like without having to see it. I have watched my elderly mother, who taught me how to bird, gradually lose the upper frequencies that those songs are mostly comprised of. It makes me sad for her and for my future self if technology cannot intercede. And Chris writes, the call of the black oyster catcher, though globally rare, it's fairly easy to spot pairs of them along the Northern California coast, and the sounds they make get me every time. I'm a little choked up from hearing that last clip. So, but thank you to our listeners for sharing those. And please do so. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum and our website is kqed.org/forum. Sounds, songs from the past really do stir powerful emotions and transport us back in time. And it was interesting, April, that listener was making the point about new technologies. There's also new research in terms of trying to discover how memories can be stirred by music. And I think there's a lot of stuff being done with dementia patients and things like that.
Yeah, I know. There is some interesting research. And there was some of that that came out in my, you know, reporting with Matt, the sort of relationship between his memory and his hearing. And there is some interesting research about, you know, with dementia or Alzheimer's patients that apparently playing songs from the past can help stir up memories. I mean, I think the way it does, you know, for all of us, hearing an old song can take us back to that place or that time or that person that we were with. And apparently those powerful connections are coming up. Well, researchers are looking into how that might sort of revive some memory in general.
Well, Julie writes, the sound of my daughter laughing, that is the sound of pure joy for me. I'm on the verge of tears just thinking about it. I would burn that sound into my soul. Okay, Julie, I'm going to admit that before the show, it got me thinking about what sounds I would want burned into my brain. So I did record my own daughter laughing, and so we can play that now. And that bopping sound is me hitting a balloon out of her hand. She found that hysterically funny. So April Dembosky, one of the things that really drew you to Matt's story was this question of being 21 and having to choose essentially the soundtrack that would be with you for the rest of your life. It was really this question, wasn't it, about what if your life goes on, you age, but the music in your head has to stay the same?
Yeah, I was really... I was almost perplexed by this because if I think back to the music that I was listening to when I was in college, it was music like Tori Amos and Led Zeppelin was, you know, a big theme for me and my college boyfriend. You know, these just angsty songs or these like hardcore rock anthems. And I never listen to that music anymore today. You know, I just feel so far away from who I was then and, you know, don't particularly want to revisit, you know, some of those memories. And so I just kept thinking, man, if that's what I had, if those were my options, you know, what would that feel like? And so I wanted to ask Matt about that. And, you know, his answer just kind of shows you how much of a different person he is from me.
And you have a clip of him talking about this?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it.
I love the colorful clothes you wear.
I never connected with melancholy. That was just not how I've been programmed.
I hear the sound of a gentle wind.
If there was a song I associated with sadness or loneliness, it's not something I would have latched onto.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
So when I think about good vibrations, I just think about the three buddies in an apartment. You know, we're all working and getting a real paycheck for the first time in our lives, and we've got our own place. And we're going out in the city, and we come back from a night out, and just let's play some Beach Boys.
I don't know where, but she sent me there.
We're listening to April Dembosky's story of Matt Haig called The Soundtrack of Silence, and you can find it on our website, kqed.org/forum. It's about the soundtracks of our lives and the soundtrack that Matt Haig created when he learned at the age of 21 that he would lose his hearing very soon, unpredictably soon, but it would be within years likely. And we're asking you what sounds you'd want burned into your brain if you had got the same news. The number to call is 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. And we go to James in Scott Valley. Hi, James.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to try and make this fast. I was on hold during the last segment and wasn't able to get my comment in, so I'll make it real quick. Female heroes, stay-at-home moms, single moms, and any women that have to tolerate moronic and chauvinistic male behavior, you ladies rock. So as far as this subject is concerned, I'm a Generation X guy. I was really big into music during that time. Now, not so much. I have three young kids, and if it were me, my three young kids don't really play well together all the time, but when they do, the sound that I would want to remember for the rest of my days would be all three of them laughing so hard that they started to snort. So thank you so much for taking my call. Have a great day.
That's a great one. Thanks, James. And let's hear next from Diane in San Rafael. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Well, I hope I'm blessed because I am actually a musician, and I have music scores, huge amounts of music in my head anyway. I can hear all of it. But what I would like to listen to especially would be, well, there's, for example, a certain piece by Debussy, Claude Debussy, a lovely song that I learned in school with my choir teacher, who was a beautiful man and who passed away. But just my first explosion of
passion for certain types of music that happened, especially in my teens. I think the Bach B minor Mass, Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet, and then some Jimi Hendrix and some funk and soul. You know, I like all of it. Maybe some African music. I have a lot of this in my head anyway, but I'd probably be listening obsessively if I thought I really wouldn't hear anything again.
Well,
think about Beethoven. He actually wrote symphonies after he was deaf. So it's amazing what can happen, you know, in your head.
Well, I'm with you when you say classical music. One of the pieces that we have here is Bach's Cello Suite. This is the prelude, and it's being played by the cellist Pablo Casals. Talking about the sounds and the songs that we'd want burned into our brains if we could no longer hear. We've asked you, our listeners, to share yours. And Cynthia writes, I was told in my early 30s that I would be deaf by the time I was 40. I was surprised by the lack of compassion that most people displayed. A lot of, well, at least you aren't losing your eyesight. All I could think about was not being able to hear the sounds of my children's voices or not being able to have a conversation with my husband. Their voices are what I would have burned into my head. As it turned out, I was misdiagnosed. I have lost hearing in one ear, but I still have semi-normal hearing in my other ear. Actually, April Dembosky, that was Matt Hayes' experience, right? For a long time, he did have hearing in one ear.
Yeah, exactly. So he, around the time that he got his first got his diagnosis, he quickly lost the hearing in one ear. And so for a long time, you know, when he was going through this exercise of memorizing these songs, it was just with one ear. And what I learned, and this is interesting to me, I didn't realize, is that when you only have one ear, it's very hard to place where sound comes from. So you can't tell if it's from the left or the right or in front of you or behind you. And that could lead to a lot of confusion for him.
Yes, though he seems so upbeat throughout it all.
He really does. I mean, he's really
down.
Incredible. Yeah.
And let's hear from Linda in Campbell. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
There are two sounds that I absolutely love. One is the sound of my dog's tail wagging and thumping on the floor.
That's a great one.
And the other one is I live underneath the Canadian geese migration flight route, and I love the sound of them honking as they're flying north and south to and from their migration.
Those definitely sound like sounds that would just connect you with some emotional response, Linda?
Absolutely. I have always loved nature and out of doors and animals, and I would certainly miss those sounds a lot.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Jessica writes, Chopin's Raindrop Prelude, another lovely piece. And let's hear next from Daniel in Pacifica. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I hope this isn't too personal for the radio, but if I were going deaf, I think the sound of me and my wife being intimate would be something I would want to remember.
Okay, well, Daniel, thanks for saying that. And, you know, April Dembosky, we put you on the spot a little bit, too, and asked you if there was a song or sound that you would want burned into your brain. Is there one that you want to share with us?
Well, first I have to say, rock on, Daniel. Thanks for sharing that. I think for me, you know, some of the things that the callers have mentioned, geese, you know, flying overhead, that reminds me a little bit of where I grew up. We also, I think, lived on a migratory path, and where I lived also was about a mile away from the county fair that was held every summer. And I love amusement parks. That was something that I did with my dad, and my dad passed away when I was young, and so a lot of the sounds that, you know, when I thought about this, are sounds that, you know, I've already developed kind of an attachment to, because they're sounds that remind me of him. And one of them is like the sound of, you know, roller coasters in the distance as you're kind of approaching the park. And there's this also this roller coaster I used to ride with my dad a lot. It was a wooden roller coaster, and I remember waiting in line for it. There was just this sound of like this click, this like, anyway, so we also lived, like I said, we lived about a mile away from this county fair, and we would hear, we could like hear people screaming on the rides. It was like always so much fun. And so, there was this, that of course then, you know, kind of translated into, you know, my relationship with my husband now. When he and I first met, we, in our early years of our relationship, we went to the Santa Cruz boardwalk together, and there was this one ride, I don't know, it's called the Gravitron in some places. It's this, like, you sit around in a circle and it spins and it like pushes you up against the back.
Yes.
And, this ride at the Santa Cruz boardwalk is an outdoor one, and we were riding that, and this song, two of us, which is a Beatles song, and it was a cover that by Amy Mann, which was a song we had already been listening to, started playing while we were on that ride. And we just had the exhilaration of, you know, young love and being outside, the exhilaration of the ride itself, and seeing the ocean in the distance. I mean, just an incredible feeling. And we totally walked down the aisle together to that song at our wedding.
That's awesome. That's a great story. Well, another listener writes, my wife's voice, cat noises, Orly's Creole trombone by Louis Armstrong, Rosenblatt's rendition of Col Nidre, X-Ray Specs, Germ-Free Adolescence. We're talking with KQED's April Dembosky about the soundtracks of our lives and the sounds from that soundtrack that we try to burn into our brains if we learned in a few years we'd never hear again. And we're hearing from our listeners at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Also on email, forum@kqed.org, on Facebook or Twitter at KQED Forum. Let's see if we can get a call in from Miriam in Berkeley. Hi, Miriam.
Hi, how are you?
Great. What sounds do you want to share?
I would miss desperately my three boys and the cacophony of the Labrador and the all of that. But I would also miss the siren on my ambulance. I've worked in the 911 system for many, many years, and that's a sound that I don't think anyone else would miss. And I apologize for all the noise I've made over the years. But it's part of my life, and my husband is an EMS as well. And a siren is not something you typically miss, but it was something that I would really definitely want to remember.
Well, thanks for sharing that. What do you feel when you hear a siren going by?
Well, I love my job, and for me, it's excitement and doing something and being helped. I love my job, and so I think anyone else who's ever worked in the fire department or the police department or on an ambulance, they know that sound, and it's just it's so familiar. And if you love your job, then you love the sounds of your job, even if no one else does.
Well, Miriam, thanks for sharing that. Michael from Richmond says, I lost my hearing suddenly one day, and I want to stress the importance of protecting your ears to all of your listeners, especially if you're riding BART. Denise writes, my cat's purring. It's one of the most soothing sounds on earth. Marta writes, my biggest fear is of being alone, so even though it's odd, I probably would want to remember the small sounds, like the crowd or rain, because I think I would just fade away if I was constantly surrounded by complete silence. Well, Marta, wow, thanks for sharing that. One thing that you did learn, April Dembosky, in reporting this, was that it's not like Matt, once his hearing went, that he experienced total silence, did he?
Yeah, that also really surprised me. And apparently this is pretty common for people who lose their hearing. He had really bad tinnitus, which is a ringing in the ears. And for him, he described it as like a freight train in one ear and like a sort of cryptic organ in the other ear. And he said, when you can hear, you know, the hearings from the environment, you know, kind of drowns that out. But once his hearing went, it was just this cacophony.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear from Kate in Inverness. Hi, Kate.
Good morning. I sing at the bedsides of people who are dying, and I'm hoping that my songs give the people who are listening a sense of what heaven might be like. You know, songs are invisible and light, and I just think they might be an indication of what heaven might be like. That's my hope. And my favorite sound in nature is the Swainson thrush.
Yes.
It's a beautiful, beautiful song. Thank you for this topic.
Well, thank you for sharing your what you do as well. What is one song that you tend to sing to people?
I sing "You Are Not Alone." I am here beside you. That's one. And the other one is "We Are All Just Walking Each Other Home."
Kate, thank you for sharing that. Really appreciate it. Let's go next to Jim in Novato. Hi, Jim.
Hi there. I like the sound of the BART train, actually. When you're riding the BART train, that high-pitched noise that just kind of rises in pitch.
What do you connect with that sound?
Well, it always reminds me of a Boston song, which I think it's the, it's been such a long time, that song.
Well, cool.
Like synthesizer noise. Yeah, it always reminds me of that.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Tim in Walnut Creek, how about you?
Well, I've tried this exercise many times of recording the soundtrack to my life, and I still haven't gotten a right new song. One that would be very key to me is Pavel, a friend of mine who's a cellist. I believe you played him a few minutes ago. He once played "Whiter Shade of Pale" by Procol Harum on the cello, and I've got a snippet of him playing that, and that would most definitely be on there. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard.
Well, Tim, thank you for sharing that. We've got Anthony writing, "Meat sizzling. I'm a cook, and I would miss the sound of meat sizzling in a pan." And a listener writes, "Waves crashing and water lapping against my boat," and "Thunder Road" by Bruce Springsteen. And finally, Pat says, "I have a large garden surrounded by four crepe myrtle trees. In the spring and early summer, when the sparrows hatch, the sound from the trees can be deafening and beautiful at the same time. This is what I would miss if I were to lose my hearing." April, we're going to go out with "Iron and Wine," "Naked as We Came." Can you tell us why you picked that as a song in your soundtrack quickly?
Sure. When I work on these stories, I was working on a story in journalism school about home funerals, and that's practice where people take care of their loved ones' bodies at home after they died. And so for months I was reporting this, and I was interviewing women whose husbands had died or men whose wives had died, and I felt passionately about the topic. But it totally hit home with me, and I just remember coming home one time and just crying in my husband's arms about facing that reality with him. And this song, which I was listening to at the time, just really helped me come to terms with that.
April Demboski, health reporter for KQED, thank you.
Thank you.
Eyes wide open.
This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.